Shaw been kind of like, cats need to be flashing their passports in their videos with all the stamps on there. I'm moving around the world, and they should inspire, you know, people to do like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that, because I was just thinking, I'm sure you probably heard in the news about, like, how Jay-Z and Beyonce, they went to Cuba, I believe it was, and some folks got up in arms about it. But
they've always been like that in America anytime that we left the country. They did the same thing with Dennis Rodman going to North Korea.
Oh, that's right.
Malcolm X, when he went to Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got to remember the first black men, or the first people from America that really had an impact on China was the Harlem Globetrotters. They was over. They were the first athletes to go over to China, and they were just like superstars over there. You know, yeah, we're ambassadors. Our culture is an ambassador for the United States. You know.
Yeah, man.
A lot of people get into it, man. That's why there's a lot of opportunities out there. You know, it's like one song I did about the West Coast. I put like, man, I put, yeah, they hate America, but that's the government, you know?
Right.
But when you say West Coast, the people are loving it, you know?
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that's the way it is, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, but, yeah, when we get out there and we experience the world, there's a lot of opportunities out there. And when you just leave the country and you go somewhere else, when you come back to the States, your aspect on life is totally different.
It really is. Yeah, I totally agree. You still kept in touch with your peoples in L.A., I imagine, yes?
Oh, man, I kept in touch with a lot of people, man. You look on my Facebook, man, you can find a picture with all these kites from jail, man. I correspond with a lot of people in jail.
That's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying and stuff, man? I meet new homies in jail, man. I mean, like, cats hit me up. I don't even know them, man. They hit me up, you know? I hit them back, you know what I'm saying and stuff, man? I've helped cats. I sent them money so they could buy a typewriter and write their books.
Yeah.
Sent them information, and cats in jail, they sent me a lot of information. Man, I had some homies in jail. They were sending me a lot of information about the industry, what was going on.
Yeah.
Information in the kites, what new artists coming out, you know, because I didn't have time really to read all these magazines to get into it. Yeah. Business books to read and stuff, man. Corresponding with people in jail, man, was... yeah, one of my best experiences. And I've never had no problem with anybody. Nice. Nobody tried to hustle me, tried to have me send them a whole bunch of money. Anybody I sent money to, they actually used it for what I sent it to them for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And one project I got, you know, hopefully we get it out this year and stuff, man. It is complete.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poetry book that a whole bunch of people in prisons, you know, they submitted their poems to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from people, like, from all walks of life, even people that, you know, on death row, some people already been executed.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, it's a book called Kites.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poetry book with four sections, hate, love, death, and life.
Wow.
Written by women, also, man, Mexican, white folks, black folks, everybody up in jail, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, corresponding, you know, with people back home and helping people back home. And, you know, I always try to get, you know, homies to come over here, man, get your passport. That's all I ever say to them.
Yeah.
You know, get your passport, come over here and stuff, you know what I'm saying? You know, I had a couple of homies, they were scared to get on the plane. They're like, man, I ain't getting on that plane flying over that big ass ocean, you know? But now they're starting to think about it, and they're like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, man? So for them to make that move, or for me to give people the opportunities to come over here and experience something, is like, yeah, that's what I'm really all about, man. That feels the best. That's better than any money that I make.
I feel
that feeling right there.
Definitely. And, you know, you mentioning, keeping up with the folks in prison, because even when you look at, you know, people who have, especially in hip-hop, you know, like I thought about, like, you know, with Beanie Siegel, you know, and, you know, and even like the sentiments that he's expressed, of course, you know, you have, you know, of course, like, you know, Tupac Shakur, and rest in peace. You know, and I know you've known people, and when you get behind those bars, you know, and I mean, and just, and nobody even thinks that, I don't think anybody ever dreams that it's going to happen one day, but it's just, I've always kind of, you know, heard that's when you really find out who your friends are, who will really, you know, stick their neck out for you. Because, I mean, things just, I mean, even by our own volition, but things can happen in life, you know, and you just, And before you know it, you or somebody you know might be taking that walk. So it's just that communication is important. And I know you haven't been in the service, just especially like in that boot camp time. Not that it can really compare to it, but it's just like you kind of isolated away, you know, from your friends and your family, and you're kind of in a whole new system of life. And it's almost like, you know, even with indoctrination, you're kind of getting registered and whatnot, and you lose that contact with the outside world. So whenever those letters, whenever mail comes and you get those letters and stuff, it means the whole world to you.
Yeah, when you get them letters from, yeah, especially them hoes sending you letters and stuff, man.
Oh, yes.
You know, man, but I love the basic training and stuff, yeah. Man. You know, man, I've always been a soldier, man, so for me to go do it, it was nothing, you know what I'm saying? It was fun, and for me to get out there, I mean, I'm not the type of cat to run with a lot of people anyways, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have like 2 or 3 people by my side, and that's it, you know? I might have 5,000 Facebook friends, but it ain't like that, though. You know what I'm saying? That's whatever I got to do to market whatever I got. You know, it's all business, you know?
I hear that.
So, yeah, man, you know, it's still less than 10 for sure. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt, yeah.
And only working with about 5.
Yeah.
So, it's best to keep your circle small like that anyways, man.
Close-knit circle.
I did that in the streets, you know what I'm saying? Even though I'm in a big gang, but whatever, man. I'm running, doing dirt with like 2 people only, you know what I'm saying?
There you go,
stuff,
yeah.
You get too many people involved, man, it's like, nah. Mm-hmm. This stuff, man, you know, yeah, shit go wrong and somebody starts snitching, it's hard to point fingers then.
That's right, yeah, too many cooks in the kitchen, you know?
You know, so, you know, man, yeah, it was kind of like that and stuff, man, so...
And in fact, when you were, and like you said, when you were mentioning like with incarcerations, it made me think about Stanley, you know, Tukey Williams.
Right.
Yeah, like I know when he was, I think he was executed, I believe it was in 2005. That really hit the press too, you know, and I mean his involvement, you know, of course, with, you know, with the Crips and what have you. But,
yeah, it was fucked up what, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger did, you know what I'm saying, man?
Right.
Definitely should have let him live. I mean, not like he was trying to get out, you know what I'm
right.
saying? And stuff, man. But, yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of cats, man. I mean, I had a homie, he got locked up, mm-hmm. you know, 93.
Yeah.
And he got life in prison, you know what I'm saying, on a murder charge. And I stuck with him, you know, all these years, you know what I'm saying? He always get kites, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, the homies love getting kites from Japan. When you get a kite from Japan in jail, you know what I'm saying? No, and like homies in Cali, you know, I used to send people food that were in prisons back in Cali. You know, you can't do that no more, but I used to send that instant ramen with all the Japanese writing on it.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, gold in jail. They're like, damn, that nigga got imported. You know
man.
What I'm saying? But they don't allow that shit no more, you know?
Yeah. Like that.
You know, my homie, he caught his murder case. It was front page news, you know what I'm saying? Because it was at a shopping mall. Bus stop, you know what I'm saying? Innocent bystander got killed, you know?
Oh, man.
You know, unfortunately and stuff, man. One of the things, you know, we always try to devoid, you know, I always did my best to try to keep my homies out of jail, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff, man, regardless what we did. And, yeah, I didn't think he was ever going to get out, man, but, you know, I kept on doing it. You know, I'm doing my business. You know, I'm staying legit. You know, I'm over here in Japan. I wrote letters to the parole board,
mm-hmm.
you know, let them know I'm going to support them and stuff. You know what I'm saying? He had some people. And last year when he came up for, you know, parole for like the second time.
Yeah.
Wishapala, he said he went, it was a committee. The 3 people decide, right?
Right.
2 people are tied. So the commissioner has to be the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So he went to the prison to visit my boy and, when he did, he, you know, he had a stack of papers with him,
mm-hmm.
and when my boy looked at the file, you know, he saw my letters.
Yeah.
That I wrote them, you know, and stuff, man, and he got his parole. You know, next year he'll be out.
That's wonderful to hear.
It's unfortunate he had to spend, you know, 20 years in jail. You know, man, but, you know, during that time, you know, we've lost a lot of homies that just got, you know, killed in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, whatever, he's still alive, and I don't know, at 40, I don't know, man, I still feel young at 40, so I think he'll be all right. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. Well, obviously, you know, you being a couple continents away and whatnot, any plans when he gets out?
I don't know, whatever, man. He gonna work his job. You know what I'm saying? He can't leave the state.
Right.
It's a homie from Texas, so he can't leave the state or anything. He gonna be on parole. He gonna have the monitor on his leg. You know, probably for 6 months or a year at the beginning. Yeah. You know what I'm saying and stuff, man. Whatever, man. He's gonna work a hard, you know, hard working job. He wanna work on the oil rigs or something like that. You know what I'm saying? He got his education while he was in jail. Did a lot of training and stuff. You know, read a lot of books, man. You know, a lot of my homies came out pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I had another homie from Dago.
Mm-hmm.
He did about 20.
Yeah.
And stuff, man. And, you know, before he went to jail, he couldn't read and write. Now he can. And he wrote a couple of books. You know what I'm saying? He got books out. You know what I'm saying? He's a writer.
That's terrific.
I got another homie that wrote screenplays and stuff from Compton. And stuff, man. So I've seen a lot of success, you know. I don't think our jail systems are that bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know, my homies, they made it out, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're doing good. So, you know, it's not that bad yet, but it is getting worse.
I hear you.
You know, it is getting worse, and it is becoming more of a slavery system, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see education and training cut out, you know. Some people don't know. Because of Obama, a lot of those programs stayed in place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of programs and a lot of help out there, you know, which the Republicans were trying to take away.
Right, right.
A lot of people don't know about it. Of course, there's nothing that, you know, Democrats are going to speak about. You know, not a platform. Yeah, you want to get, you know, reelected on that. You know, we actually help people in prison and stuff, man. You know, man. But yeah, there's a lot of help for them when they get out. One thing I always tell cats, man, they look at me strange when I tell them, I say, in Japan, ain't no love.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why is because it's part of their culture, and you know, their main religion over here is Buddhism.
Yes.
You know? And if you know anything about Buddhism, the word love is never mentioned. It's all about peace and harmony.
Right.
You know. So you got cats going over here, you know, their parents never hugged them, tell them I love you, and you know, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so how can a chick actually know how to do that for you? You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it.
That's deep. I can tell, you know, because initially when I heard about you, you know, and in fact, listeners, how I first got introduced to you and, you know, to you and your work was when I was in Yokosuka. There was this one day I was going back, I was just hanging out of the base, and you always find people getting their grind on, you know, kind of, you know, giving out their CDs and whatnot, and there was this dude named Trey the motherfucking Don, and I think his CD was like $5, and I was like, alright, you know what, cool. And and I think it was through Best Friends Entertainment, and I remember that it was like mixed by DJ Wu, and I still got that CD to this day. And so when I had first started at the radio station here at UGA in Athens, and I, you know, and I got okay to do Beast from the East, you know, I wanted to kind of, you know, go back and, you know, find his material. Of course, I would have had to edit the hell out of it, but I found the CD and stuff, and I want to try to reach out to him and be like, hey, man, you know, I know you probably won't remember me, but I picked up one of your CDs, and I'm doing, like, a Japanese music show here at my campus and stuff, so I just want to give you a shout-out. And I was kind of looking him up, like, through the MySpace, and I think I found DJ Wu, and eventually one thing led to another, and I found out about FIP and about, you know, and about you, Dope Daddy. So I was like, you know what I mean? Hit him up, you know, see what's good and stuff. And, you know, and since then I've, you know, learned a lot, you know, just about, you know, about your music. But I can tell, and just even in this conversation and even in the post that you've done on Facebook and stuff, there's a whole lot of life that you've come into awareness about, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing, you know, that you know, like I said, you're at that summit of 40, and that's something that you, a lot of your peeps, a lot of your homies, and even in my end, that's a plateau that a lot don't really get to see, you know, because of that, you know, that fatal luster, you know, of the streets and of the, you know, and sometimes that instant gratification, you know, from vices that, you know, we need not name and stuff. But But yeah, man, I mean, that's real. But let me try to get back in circuit here. When you were performing, though, what was your preference? Was it the big arena or, like, the small club?
I think back in the day, I used to do a lot of shows before I even actually, you know, was, like, really doing stuff in the studio. Because when I came over here, it was, like, you could get paid rapping easily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And stuff, man. I mean, I did, like, Max Factor.
Wow.
Makeup Showcase, you know, big stage where they're rapping. I can't even tell you what I was rapping about. I don't think I wrote none of that song. I didn't put an instrumental on. I just went.
Yeah.
You know, Mitsubishi Car Show.
Right.
And we were out at a C Park, you know, man, but it was easy, man. You could get a G just for doing that, you know? I mean, I didn't give them cats no bios, no demos, or anything, man. Mm. You know, they was like, damn, you young, you black, okay, you gotta rap, you know? And basically got a paycheck like that, you know what I'm saying? When I first came over here in the military, I was like, man, I'm just gonna do this military thing, get all this training, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, get, you know, sharpen up my shooting, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like, you know, before I got in the military, oh yeah, dog. I mean, I banged game bang hard, man.
Right.
I never got high, I never got drunk when I put in work. You know what I'm saying? I took it seriously. You know what I'm saying, man? Yeah. I actually thought in my head, man. Yeah, man, it's my mission in life to kill these other niggas before they kill my homies.
Right.
I definitely had that mindset, man. And coming over here in Japan, it kind of took that away because, you know, over here, man, ain't no violence. You know what I'm saying? The stuff, man, it's like, yeah, this just ain't no violence. All peace, man. First time I stepped into the club, you know, dude was like, you got to come out to the club. I was like, how much? He was like, $40. I'm like, $40? I was like, whatever, man. I'm going to experience Japan. And I might not get this again in life. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So I went out there and spent that money, you know. And I'm in the club, you know, man. But 10 minutes, girl walked up to me. She was like, you a playboy? And I was like, nah, what you mean? I mean, what you mean? You saw me in a video or something, you know what I'm saying? Porno or something? What you mean? And I was like, nah, I ain't one. And she's like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? Started kicking it with a nigga and shit. And I seen this nigga on the dance floor.
Yeah.
He was throwing a rolling 20s, man. But it wasn't like back home. It wasn't like he was throwing it up. And it was tension up in the club. You know what I'm saying? It was like he was just representing.
It's just, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's what it was all about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, you got cats from Chicago. You got GD. You got GDs. You got Vice Lords. And, you know, everybody represent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, man. I've had a couple of squabbles with GDs from Chicago, but it wasn't no big thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, man? And today, you know, we squab, man. I'm like, man, why are we doing this? We in Japan. You know what I'm saying? Come on, y'all, for real. You know what I'm saying? And stuff, man. I met a good friend of mine, original member of the Electro Boogaloos pop locking group.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Legendary pop locking group. His name is Skeeter Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
He from Compton, you know what I'm saying? Original, like, you know, CC Rider, man, Compton Crip Rider.
Yeah.
And I was out here in Osaka, you know, it's about like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, DJ, you know, he seen me, you know what I'm saying? I was flamed up, you know what I'm saying? Been doing my thing.
Yeah.
You know, throwing up my set and everything. And, you know, he started throwing up sets, but then he started throwing up, like, you know, BK and Fuck Blood and all that shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, hold up, man. I gotta go check this nigga.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walked up to him, you know, and he big, man. Skeeter Rabbit was a big dude, man, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, I gotta check him, though, you know what I'm saying? And I walked up and I said, what's up with that? He's like, I seen you throw up your shit, so I threw up mine. I was like, hold up, dog, but you didn't check my shit. I wasn't throwing nothing disrespectful up.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't throwing up no CK, no Fuck Crit, none of that, you know? I wasn't disrespecting nobody's set. I told him like this, man, I'm out here representing for my dead homies and my homies in jail because they don't get that opportunity that we got.
That's true.
And I was like, you got to do the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This stuff, man. We said that shit. When I told him that shit, he was like, yeah, that's some real shit.
Mm.
You know, he was an older nigga than me, man. And, you know, man, we became boys after that. You know what I'm saying, man? Shit, about 5 years ago, I don't know what happened, man, but in Vegas, you know, whatever, he killed himself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I was
gosh.
Like,
damn. Oh,
you know,
man.
We were about to do a tour over here together. You know what I'm saying? Blood and Crip together. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
And stuff, man. So, But, yeah, and Japan was good to him. He was famous over here as a dancer, man.
That's beautiful.
You know, man, what drew him to suicide, I don't know, man. But, yeah, man.
That's sad, man. I'm sorry to hear about that, you know. But I know you're keeping, you know, you do a fine tribute, you know, to his memory and all, you know, even just in that story, I mean, and you know, I know you had a really great reverence, you know, for his talents, I mean, just the friendship that you had and all, and yeah, and I've even, you know, noticed too that just, you know, especially between the with the, you know, the Crip and Bloods, that there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of works, you know, in Union. Even I've even seen it in the mixtape scene. And even more, I remember when when DJ Quick and Corrupt, you know, did their Blackout album, and I remember the first video they did was 9 Times Out of 10, and I always learned that DJ Quick was a Piru blood, and I know that Corrupt is, you know, had the Crib affiliation, but they had those We the West T-shirts on, and Quick's was in blue. And Corrupt's was in red. I mean, it's a small example, but, you know, it's just, I mean, it's great, you know, when you can see factions like that kind of working together and just, you know, trying to get harmony, especially, you know, with you two, you know, being on foreign land and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I never had no problem with nobody over here, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I mean, I met Corrupt over here, man. I was backstage. He came down the stairs.
Oh, man.
And he saw me all flamed up and shit, man. He shook like a motherfucker and shit, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, come here, nigga. You know, they got smaller than me and shit, man. I was like, man, it's all good, man. You know, he was still kind of like, he was like the president of Death Row at that time.
Yeah.
He was the last left on Death Row, you know what I'm saying? Daz already, when he was by himself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Around that,
he was lonely at that time, you know what I'm saying? He looked lonely too and shit, you know what I'm saying, man? But, you know, I grabbed him, you know, I had my red bandana, threw it over his shoulder. He had his little Rolling 20 shirt on.
Right.
And stuff, man. Took a picture of him. You know what I'm saying? Said that to the homies in the jail. You know, the Crip niggas in jail weren't happy seeing that picture. You know what I'm saying? He was throwing up West Coast. I was throwing up blood. I had that red bandana over his shoulder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So niggas was like, yeah, hit me back, you know, on the kites. And they was like, yeah, man, them Crip niggas, man, don't like that picture at all. Like, what's up with that fool, man? Like, I don't know, man. He was cool, though, man. You know what I'm saying? And stuff, man. So yeah. You know, I ain't trip on him or anything. You know, I had this one shorty with me, man. She was all flamed up.
Yeah.
She was with me and shit, man. And we backstage and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, he looking like he want to get out. I was like, man, here, dog. Go on and take her and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go on and take her and shit, man. Stuff, man. I was like, shit. She back here on this West Coast shit. She here for your ass anyways, nigga. I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying and stuff, man? Yeah. I started singing like Ray J to that nigga. I hit it.
Oh.
I ain't do that shit to that nigga. Like,
Can you believe that, man? God, dog.
That's stupid, man. That's corny as hell, man. That Ray J shit, man. That's just corny, man. You know what I'm saying? But that, you know what? That's what the industry is all about now, though. You know what I'm saying? It's all about, you know, checking some dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, man. Yeah, that street shit is like real deep into hip hop now, man, or corny shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth.
That stuff, man, you know, man, it's whatever. You know, of course, we know, you know, Tupac was the first one to do that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying and stuff, man. So, you know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've been mentioning Corrupt, because one of the groups I remember that he and Daz, that they did some collaborations with that group, with DS455, I think it's like DJ PMX, and I can't remember the MC's name, but I remember, remember they did, that was like a hot little minute ago.
These cats I don't fuck with, man, you know, I don't fuck with none of them fake-ass West Coast motherfuckers, because none of them gangsters and shit.
Right.
I know their language. Mm-hmm. I know their culture. They can't fool me like they can fool motherfuckers back home.
Yeah.
They just get over here, you know what I'm saying? They can't fool me. And they know that shit. And I don't fuck with them. Never did no songs with them or anything. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
This stuff, man. And I didn't realize so much, you know, it was a couple of years ago that they actually all knew me. You know what I'm saying? I never fucked with them, communicated with them, did shows where they did shows or anything. You know what I'm saying? And my boy was good with them, man. Japanese boy. He got mad respect for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he said, man, we're going to go to this studio. All them cats going to be up in there. You know what I'm saying? All the... They dress like Cholo. They look like Cholo, but soft, you know, softer than ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He took me to the studio, and you know, and I'm like, whatever, man. You know, he had me blunted. You know what I'm saying? I was high and tired. You know what I'm saying? And we went up in the studio and stuff, man. As soon as we walked in there, man, everybody stood the fuck up quick.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then
officer on deck.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And they was like, yeah, y'all come sit in the booth, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, whatever, man, go and sit in the booth.
Yeah.
Listen to this dude spit. They're like, y'all want something to drink, eat, you know, motherfucker, you know, serving it like this, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know that was for me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, when we left, my boy was like, I can't believe that shit. I was like, what's up? He was like, man, when I go there, they fucking ignore me. They never offer me nothing. I never sit in the booth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stuff, man. And he was like, and then he was like, they're fucked up. And I was like, why are they fucked up? He was like, they had you there sitting in the motherfucking controller room, and ain't nobody had the nerve or the guts to ask you to go spit on the mic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I told him, well, they that means they ain't stupid and shit, because they would have asked me, I would be like, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not spitting on y'all shit. I know, you know, they want to be cool with me. Because my homie Red Rum told me one time, he was like, you got to be careful who you do songs with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, you do a song with a motherfucker, he's popular, he's famous in his country, in Japan, but he fake. But once you do a song with him, you know, it's like, you gave him credit. Like, he's a real motherfucker. He got to be a real motherfucker because you're a real motherfucker. Real motherfuckers don't fuck with fake motherfuckers. Yeah. That's what people think.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, so I realized, like, yeah, but as soon as, and of course, I can fuck with him, then maybe we fall out, but he still got that status, though.
That's right. You've been just by your association with him.
And you've seen that happen with a lot of rappers, you know, especially when that Sue Whoopin was, like, the thing 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Lil Wayne and shit, you know what I'm saying? A lot of West Coast rappers tried to get with him and get on his shit, but them motherfuckers just riding that wave.
That's true.
Now that shit over with, he ain't even fucking with the Dombos no more. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's skateboarding, still trying to talk about he a motherfucking blood and shit.
God, yeah. Man.
Like, it didn't pay, and I seen that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's, man, so you can't sacrifice who you are, what you do, just hoping that it'll get you somewhere.
That's true. Like,
along with a cat. You know what I'm saying? This stuff, man. If you hard, if you don't fucking listen to Justin Timberlake, then don't do a song with his ass.
That's true. That's real.
You know? This stuff, man. Even though if you did, maybe you'll blow up and get out there more, man. But yeah, but anyways, man. At the end of the day, yeah, it ain't worth it.
I hear that. Yeah, man. And I gotta throw two words at you. Club Pure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, some of my boys, you know, they were real big on that, especially like in Shibuya and stuff, you know. I was, yeah, man. So,
all right. But it's only in Osaka now. Osaka. The original is where it's from.
Okay. I didn't realize.
And yeah, I know the owners. Cat named Blake, real good dude, man. Still popping in Osaka. You know, man, still doing their thing and stuff, man. You know, it's like, whatever, man. It's like $30, $40 to get in the club. All you can drink all night long.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? That's, yeah, man. But I don't even go to clubs no more, though. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Okay.
I know you see me doing, like, international party rock, and we got club events and all that, man, but.
I know. I almost needed to. Man, I'm not lying, you know. Listeners, I almost thought I needed to pay admission just to go, just to check out the Facebook pictures. This is crazy.
This stuff, man. Yeah, man. But, you know, my focus is, like, I don't get caught up in the parties, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a party person no more. I'm a business person. So I think that's kind of great, you know, what I'm doing right now, because I'm the person who always has a, you know, I'm business-minded about every move that we make. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And stuff, man, and treating it like a business, and not like, hey, I want to have a party, have a bunch of people come so I can be famous, you know?
Right.
Notice, man, I don't put my name on none of that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
All the stuff that's going on, man, I don't put my name on there. I don't put myself out there like I'm the CEO, executive producer, none of that, you know what I'm saying? This stuff, man, I really try to develop that we thing. I want people to understand that, you know, we a team, you know? Yeah. I might be the coach, general manager, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I don't throw that at people's faces.
Exactly.
Because, you know, this is a building process, man. We're trying to build an international corporation and establish it in many countries, you know?
I hear that.
And it's not an easy feat, and it's definitely something I can't do by myself. Definitely. So I definitely need a team of good people to make it happen.
If you got a crew, you better tell them.
Yeah, you can be a great coach, but you ain't shit without a team.
That's right. You ain't shit without your homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you mentioned with the as far as like the studio story, do you have like an in-house studio that you work with, or any like, you know, any spots in particular you like to go with? Do you not want to give up that trade? You know, how does that go for like for your artists, or even, you know, when you were putting it down, like, you know, with your rhymes and stuff?
Always went to a professional studio. Okay. I never tried to build no home studio. Mm-hmm. It just felt like someone's already built it, so why am I trying to do the same thing?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
And they touch it all the time, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just best to deal with them. You save yourself some time, you know?
Oh,
might
yeah.
end up spending a little bit more money, but how can I say? If you go in the studio and handle your business correctly, that won't be the case.
You'll use your time to the maximum.
And you drop what you got to drop, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Everything else is on him to mix it down and stuff, you know?
Mhm. I hear you. Yeah. And as far as getting around in Japan, I mean, do you like to just kind of ride, or do you do the J Auto?
I mean, right now I really don't go nowhere, man, unless I'm promoting. And
okay.
When I'm promoting, it usually sometimes move around in the car if I got a lot of promotional items and just whatever around on the train. Mostly the train, you know what I'm saying?
I love the train.
And like I said, man, I'm learning to be simple with my life, man. Yep. I'm not trying to drive the big fancy car. If I need a car, just rent a car.
That's true.
You know, man, I don't need it every day. You know what I'm saying, man? It's how can I say, man? It's a waste of money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anybody can tell me what kind of car Steve Jobs drives, or Bill Gates? You know, Sam Walton, who started Walmart. You know, was the richest man in the world when he was alive. You know, he drove an old pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the richest man in the world. You know.